Welcome to Local Talk, the Friday edition on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, events, and places in Central Iowa. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour, with station manager and engineer Mike Murphy, and good friend and neighbor Mike Metz is here. Good morning, Mike.
Oh, good morning, Pat.
And I had some puddles in my lane this morning, maybe a tenth.
Yeah, between a tenth and two-tenths, according to my bird bath and the puddles in my lane.
Boy, everything helps this
That's
time
right,
of year.
And there was a nice fog over some of the bean fields coming in this morning.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a pretty good way to start a day, and we've got a full slate of guests in the wings, so to speak, this 19th day of August, 2022.
If I might so interject, Pohl Prairie Walk next Friday at 7 p.m. That's behind the Ames High. It's the Ames High Prairie. This is one of the last two. There'll be one more in September.
Boy, and I attended a Prairie Walk last evening at Doolittle, and that's the last of the season with Tom Rosberg. We've had Tom on previously, I guess when he started that series, following in the tradition of Lloyd Krim, mm-hmm. who for years, and it's just hard to get too many good facts coming out of a prairie anytime you have the chance to visit. And we'll have that report from Dr. Rosberg in the coming weeks.
Great.
Yeah.
So the weather, it's currently 63 degrees out there, folks, and we're going to be expecting some thunderstorm activity later today. We're expected to reach a high of 81 and low tonight is 64. And there's a chance of shower Saturday with cooler temperatures around 77 degrees. The extended forecast shows temperatures in the low 80s into the next week.
Hey, Mary Swander, a noted Iowa poet laureate, will be joining us later in the hour. Yet first, let's welcome Dennis Hart with a summary of the news last week from the pages of the Ames Tribune.
The coronavirus still making its way around Iowa. The governor asking the court to bring back a law banning abortions after 6 weeks, and new efforts to keep tomorrow safe and sane and sober for Iowa State University students, all made big news in the Ames Tribune this past week. Let's begin where we usually do with last Friday's paper, which reported that police had identified the Iowa State University student who had been found dead on Wednesday morning on her balcony at a Welch Avenue apartment complex. Investigators were still looking to figure out how 20-year-old Emma Timmer of Ames died. Authorities had been called to the complex in the 400 block of Welch after a resident from another apartment reported a woman who appeared to be dead on her balcony. In the wake of that discovery, Iowa State University was offering counseling and other services. There was also word that hospitalizations from the coronavirus in Iowa had increased a bit from the previous week. 323 people were said to be hospitalized in the state from the virus. At the same time, the number of new virus infections went down by 4%. 5,660 new infections of the coronavirus were reported in Iowa, and health officials reported 33 new deaths from the virus last week, bringing the total number of people who have died from the virus in Iowa to 9,850 since the pandemic started. And there were a couple of feature stories, one involving the Iowa State butter cow and the ingredients that go into it besides the butter. And the other feature story reported on where to go to see the summer flowers in Iowa before summer fades into fall. Among the places, the 5-acre Center Grove Orchard Sunflower Meadow in Cambridge, and several places managed by the State Department of Natural Resources, including one north of Mitchellville, another on Highway 30 west of Boone, and the Badger Creek State Recreation Area in Van Meter. And yet another spot, Willow Flower Farms, just south of Des Moines. Saturday's paper reported that Governor Kim Reynolds had formally asked a state court to reinstate a 2018 law banning abortions after about 6 weeks of pregnancy, now that state and federal precedents protecting abortion rights have been overturned. The governor said, in her words, "Life and death are determined by a person's heartbeat, and I believe that includes our unborn children. At about 6 weeks of pregnancy, an embryo's heart begins to develop and starts to emit electrical impulses. The law was banned by a court injunction in 2019 and never went into effect. Now the governor wants a Polk County judge to lift that injunction and let the law take effect." The Trib also reported that higher corn and soybean prices and improved profits had helped drive Iowa farmland values up 21% this year, the second highest increase in the nation. Only Kansas farmland values grew faster at 25%. Iowa's farmland averaged $9,400 an acre this year, followed by Illinois and Indiana. In the first 7 months of this year, about 70,000 farm acres in Iowa have been sold. And there was word that the Ames City Council had voted to raise the penalties for parties that get out of hand this coming weekend during what is known as 801 Day in Ames. That day is tomorrow, the last Saturday before classes start at Iowa State University, when a prohibition on alcohol in fraternities and sororities this week ends at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And it's a day in recent years that has brought with it underage drinking, fights, excessive noise, public drunkenness, and other activities the city calls inappropriate. So the council has voted to raise the cost of a first offense citation for violating regulations on nuisance parties from $100 to $650, starting this Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock and going through Sunday morning at 4. A second offense will go from the current $200 to $855. Earlier, the council had approved a regulation for the immediate towing of illegally parked vehicles from Lincoln Way south to Mortensen Road and from Beach Avenue west to State Avenue. In other words, Campus Town. Vehicles will be towed for various violations, including parking on the wrong side of the street, yellow line, and fire hydrant violations. Will all this work? We'll know tomorrow. Sunday's Tribune reported on some new things that will be in place on Saturday, September 3rd, when Iowa State's football team plays its home opener against Southeast Missouri. The biggest change will be the new East Gateway Bridge for pedestrians connecting Jack Trice Stadium with a new RV parking lot east of University Boulevard. The bridge's trusses were placed over the roadway of University Boulevard in June and July. The bridge is open air and will be accessible year-round. Pedestrians can still cross University Boulevard at the intersections of South 4th and South 16th Streets at ground level if they want. But pedestrians crossing at other points will need to walk to South 4th or South 16th Street to enter the stadium because of new fencing along the east side of the stadium. And then there was a front-page story, complete with pictures, about this year's winner of the Iowa State Fair's annual Super Bull, Big Boar, and Big Ram contests. This year's Super Bull winner is named Albert. He weighs 3,042 pounds. He eats 100 pounds of feed and drinks 20 gallons of water each day. The Big Boar winner is named Pee-wee. He weighs a mere 1,300 pounds, and he has quite a sweet tooth. Pee-wee eats more than 3 dozen donuts a day. And then there's the bad guy. That's the name of the fair's Big Ram winner this year. He weighs only 418 pounds, and he consumes a more conventional diet of corn, soy, oats, and vitamins. There you have them, Albert, Pee-wee, and the bad guy. So now you know. Tuesday's paper reported that a house fire in Ames had killed 6 family pets on Sunday. The residents of the house on Garfield Avenue were not home when the fire erupted. Firefighters arriving on the scene found heavy flames and smoke coming from the front porch and windows of the 2-story single-family home. The house sustained considerable fire and smoke damage. Residents discovered the fire when they got home and called 911. Cause of the fire was still under investigation. The Trib also reported that the new Ames School District superintendent has put the search for a new equity director on hold. Superintendent Julius Lawson said one of the reasons is he wants to approach the equity position in a way that brings people together, and he wants to make sure that as a district and a community, there's a clear understanding of what educational equity is. He said he does not know if the district will hire another equity director, but that he'd like to make sure the position works for the parents and for the community. And there was word that a court had appointed a receiver to oversee 8 Iowa senior care facilities, including 2 in the Des Moines Metro, after those facilities reportedly missed rent payments to their landlord. The move comes in a case filed on behalf of the 8 business entities representing the owners of the properties, who alleged that the companies operating the facilities failed to pay a combined $133,000 in rent owed for July. The decision affects the Urbandale and Newton health care centers in the Des Moines Metro, the Eagle Point Health Center in Clinton, the Keosauqua Health Care Center, the Countryside Health Care Center, and the Four Seasons Retirement Community in Sioux City, the Sigourney Health Care Center, and the Kyoto Health Care Center. Wednesday's Trib reported that a district judge had ruled the developer of a proposed nearly $5 billion carbon capture pipeline in Iowa must release the names of landowners who could be impacted along its nearly 700-mile route. Summit Carbon Solutions, the Ames company that has proposed building that pipeline to transport liquefied carbon dioxide, failed to win a permanent injunction to keep secret the names of thousands of landowners it said could be in the path of the pipeline. Under state law, Summit had to hold public meetings for landowners potentially impacted by the pipeline project, and the company complied with a list of more than 10,000 names along the route. After the State Utilities Board asked Summit to submit the names, the company asked state regulators to keep the list confidential, and the company filed a petition with the court to keep those names secret. And the Trib reported that a new undergraduate major in climate science at Iowa State University is starting small, but has big ambitions. The State Board of Regents approved the new major for ISU in July. It's too soon to officially recruit any students for this fall, but two freshmen are already interested in selecting the major. Yesterday's paper reported on what Ames residents have told City Councilman Tim Garton about where the proposed new aquatic center should be built. The council may make a decision on that as soon as this coming Tuesday. Garton has received more than 100 emails about the topic. 37 of them opposed placing the center at O'Neill Park in central Ames. 32 favored it. 21 favored the original planned site on Oak Street and Lincoln Way, but that site has been found to be contaminated, and it's not clear who would pay to clean it up. All this coming 3 years after voters turned down a bond issue that would have built what was then called a healthy life center in Ames. The Trib also reported that the Goo Goo Dolls pop rock band would be coming to Stevens Auditorium in Ames this fall, the evening of October 30th, to be exact, at 8 o'clock. The band had previously played in central Iowa in 2014 at the Iowa State Fair, and then again in 2019 at Hoyt Sherman Place in Des Moines. And the Trib reported on this weekend's Senior Variety Show in Ames, which takes place tonight, Friday, at 7:30, and then again tomorrow afternoon at 2 at the City Auditorium on 6th Street. And one of the performers will be Alice Thompson, who's been there for all of the 25 years the show has been staged. This is her 26th year. Alice Thompson is 98 years old. And that is your summary of the week's news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart. Thank you so much for listening. I'm taking off for the weekend now, but never fear, there's plenty of good listening still ahead right here on Local Talk and on KHOI throughout the day and night. So just keep it tuned right here. And I'll come back here on Local Talk on Monday morning at 7, when I'll report on what's been making news around the state. Until then, let's all go ahead and have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend.
Imagine what you want, then get out of the way. Remember, energy follows thought, so be careful what you say. Be careful what you ask for, make sure it's really what you want, because your mind is made for thinking, and energy follows thought. Your mind is in control, even when you do not know. And if you let it idle, ain't no telling where it'll go. Whenever you are sleeping and your dreams take you away, go on with your dreaming and listen to what they say. And if you hear spirits talking, their wisdom can't be bought. Apply it to your thinking, and energy follows thought. Thought, so be careful what you say.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your week in the news. And yes, have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend. And the music interlude was Willie Nelson, Energy Follows Thought, Your Mind Imagines What You Want, and Get Out of the Way. Remember, energy follows thought. Be careful what you say. And someone very careful in her choice of words and is quite specific is going to join us now. Hi, Mary Swander.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, it's so great to have you on Local Talk. And I hesitate to drill into all your past accomplishments, but I know you're a poet laureate of Iowa, and you're receiving one of the prestigious awards to any Iowan. You're going to be inducted into the Iowa Woman's Hall of Fame.
That's right. It's quite an honor. If you look at the list of women that have been past inductees, will really be impressed. There are people like Mamie Eisenhower, Lou Henry Hoover, Mary E. Youngbear, Donna Reed. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I like to weave in Dorothy Wannity. The Meskwaki Nation, and also she was inducted with Gladys Black, the Iowa Bird Lady.
Now, there are two stellar individuals. Gladys Black was so brilliant and fun to follow, and Dorothy Wannabe is a brilliant woman, too.
So your career, you remember Gladys Black. She was in the papers and noted as Iowa's Bird Lady back in the 70s and 80s, I guess, and lived in the Red Rock area, Pleasantville, and had weekly program on the radio and wrote a lot of articles and things. So, but yeah, Gladys Black, a woman close to her hearts, but now you're joining her.
That's right. I'm happy to join Gladys Black. She used to have articles in the Des Moines Register, and those pieces helped me get interested in ornithology. I mean, she's such a great observer of birds and nature in general.
Well, so are you. The things that you bring in your ag arts, let's talk about some of your current projects. They're in Kelowna. You're just south of Iowa City.
Yeah, no, I co-founded a nonprofit called Ag Arts, and it's agriculture and the arts, which people tend to scratch their heads about. But I've found that, you know, there are a lot of agricultural issues these days we need to discuss. And one of the great ways to lead a discussion is through the arts. And so I set up a program where artists are in residence on farms for 1 week to 1 month. And the latest, a couple that are going to happen right here in September and October. Yeah. Hall of Famer, Women's Hall of Famer Denise O'Brien is working on a book about her activism in agriculture, and she'll be at White Rock Conservancy near Coon Rapids. Mm-hmm. And then a fellow named Grant Holub from North Carolina, who's an oral historian, is coming to the New Hope Farm on the Mississippi, near the Mississippi River, near Dubuque, south of Dubuque. And he's going to be documenting a Guatemalan community garden that's been set up there by New Hope and surrounding neighbors. And so I help them, I give them the room and board, a little bit of help with travel, and then turn them loose in their creative imagination and just let them see what they can do. And we've had painters, we've had photographers, we've had writers, We've had dancers, and they really find it stimulating and educational. I think most artists are 2, 3, 4 generations removed from the farm. And, you know, they learn a lot when they're in residence and some of the environmental problems that the farmers face. And then the farmers love having the artists around because it's very stimulating to them.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple things that I'd like to follow up on. And you're still inspiring people. I might point out that you're an emeritus professor here at Iowa State in creative writing. So this is like in your retirement, you've taken things to another level, it seems.
Oh, that's right. Starting this nonprofit allowed me to set my imagination loose, too, and think about some of the opportunities that are out there that we could address. So I've set up the residencies, and then I also started a podcast called Ag Arts from Horse and Buggy Land, which you played excerpts from, which has been a lot of fun. And then just this last week, I've been invited to be part of the Iowa Writers Collaborative, which is a collaborative of journalists and writers, people who've made their living writing all over the state, includes Pulitzer Prize winning writer Art Cullen, Bob Leonard, who's in Knoxville, writes for New York Times, Civil Eats, all sorts of great places. Julie Gamick set it up. She's up at Lake Okoboji, and Chuck Offenberger. So this is online, and we each have a column every week, and you can tap into it through Substack. So my address there is maryswander.substack.com. And so it's given me an opportunity to expand on some of the things I do on the podcast, post photos and transcripts and extra commentary, and you'll get to actually read my monologues. And so that's already been a lot of fun. It's only been a week.
Isn't Laura Bellin part of that as well?
Oh, yeah, Laura. Sure. Why did I forget Laura? Laura's, of course, one of my heroes. I love listening to Dennis and Laura on KHOI. I'm really hooked into that show, Capital Week.
You're all national treasures, quite frankly. And, you know, we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary. So
that is fantastic.
Well, it really is. So it seems like your messaging fits in. It's such a nice fit with community radio. It just, have you always had this grassroots sort of perspective on how you inspire people?
Yeah, I really have. That's a great comment. I grew up in my early childhood in Manning, Iowa, in Carroll County, in a very small town. And even as a kid, I enjoyed the sense of community, sense of people helping each other, the room for eccentric characters, the folklore that was surrounding me. And I just carried that with me my whole life. And so,
well, it's.
There was a review of my work somewhere. I can't remember where, but they said Mary Swander is a stealth folklorist, and I like that. I was like, okay, that's a good way to describe it. I'm really interested.
Yeah, stealth.
And I never have a degree in any of these things, but you know, I'm really interested in what people create in their own home or farm or whatever it might be. That's not, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be schooled. It can be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. So I'm trying to gather these things up. The last person that I interviewed on my podcast was named Scott Eichmann, and he's in Manning. He's a farmer, a massage therapist. He's a veteran. And get on our website, agarts.org, and you'll see a whole slideshow of the sculpture that he's doing in his garage. And he has a piece right now that's just magnificent. It's made out of old combine chains and parts of different farm implements. And it's of a soldier carrying a wounded buddy out of a combat zone. And the soldier is created all with dog tags, you know, soldier dog tags.
Oh, my.
And Scott had them. It's a memorial to those that went down in Iraq and Afghanistan. Scott had dog tags stamped up with the names of all the dead.
Oh, my.
From those two wars. And so, it, you know, there are people doing magnificent things, and this is one of them. Mm. So I was really glad to connect with him, and listeners have been wowed by his work.
Yeah. It's somebody from your hometown, you know, that's really got to touch your heart. I can see that link that you really do amplify all the good qualities in humanity. And I guess we've got a couple more minutes. I'd like to focus on that, but I'm realizing everything that you've presented this morning has a direct line to empowerment and betterment and improvement and acceptance and all these topics. Am I leaving anything out?
Imagination, I guess. You know, what people can do if they're left to their... You know, actually, it's just giving them a little bit of time and left to their own devices, a little bit of support, get artists on farms, just get them there, put a roof over their head and see what they can do.
Let's, you have a program of coming into a community and working with local individuals that of like-minded interests. We've got a minute or so. Let's talk about a project that has kind of piqued my interest, and I'm going to try to link you with some local people, but could you give us some background on what I'm referring to?
Yeah, that I call Farm to Fork Tales.
Farm to Fork.
And you're right. And it's a storytelling project, and originally it was to get farmers up on the stage, tell their own stories, which has worked out really well. I've done other shows where I've told their stories, interviewed them, but I thought, let's just get the farmers up there. And that's been really fun. And then it kind of morphed from there. I did the show with immigrants at the Muscatine Community College, and they told their native food stories, which that was really interesting. And people have done their own take on it. You know, we just find a theme, and four or five people tell their stories, and then we get them up in a performance. I coached farmers at the Farmers of Iowa conference last January, and we always have a theme, and their theme was water. And we had stories about the derecho. We had stories about hailstorm wiping out a crop. We had a story about a woman losing her husband during the pandemic and her theme of water where her tears. I mean, it was powerful, it was moving, but you could do it on birds, you know, on, I don't know, we were having some conversation about otters.
Oh, yeah.
It could be anything that a group of people that really, they have stories about that piques their interest. Yeah. I'm into agriculture and natural history themes, but it could be something else. So it's just a matter of organizing the people, getting them to commit, and then finding a place for them to perform. And we've performed everywhere from beautiful auditoriums to farmers' barns. So it's not too hard.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to. We're going to try to generate some local interest and put a program together under your tutelage. And as an author, as a poet laureate, as an inductee into the Iowa Women's Hall of Fame, you really bring great spirit to what we're trying to accomplish here at Community Radio, Mary Swander. So
I love Community Radio. I love KHOI. You're doing great work. It's so refreshing to hear people like you, Pat, with real expertise, get on and talk to other people and bring them out in a grassroots way.
Well, you are an Iowa treasure, Mary Swander. Hope to have you back again, but congratulations on your award
Thanks
of being
so much.
Included in the Iowa Women's Hall of Fame. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Pat.
Be safe.
In the twilight glow, I see her. Eyes crying in the rain, and when we kissed goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like a dying ember, only memories remain. And through the ages, I'll remember blue eyes crying in the rain.
Minutes after the hour, and you're listening to KHOY Community Radio on 89.1 FM, and I'm Pat Schlarbaum, your Friday local talk host, with co-host Mike Metz and engineer Mike Murphy. Let's welcome Susan Guiazda, Public Information Officer for the City of Ames. Hi, Susan.
Hi, good to be here.
I needed to move right along. We'll do more Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. But we're not
a great
crying.
Song.
We've had a nice shower.
It was nice. It was good to hear that pitter-patter on the roof last night. The rain was definitely needed. It is an exciting time right now to be in Ames. I think everybody has noticed the activity and the return of students, of Iowa State University students, to the community. There's always a buzz at this time of year, and we are really excited for a good school year. Just a reminder, a couple of changes this weekend. This is the first weekend before the start of classes, and students are excited to be here, and sometimes they misread signs or get into a little trouble, so we want to help remind them that parking along campus can be confusing. Parking in and around campus town areas can be confusing. You really need to look at the signs, particularly in the residential neighborhoods, and make sure that you're parking appropriately. One of the things that people rely on is how other people park. Don't do it. It's a trap.
Yeah.
Don't rely on how somebody else has parked their vehicle. Read the sign carefully, because this weekend is a special weekend where we have an automatic tow ordinance in effect. And because we have seen what happens when cars line up on both sides of the streets, it is a public safety issue. We need to get those cars out of there. Also, if you're hosting a party, have a few friends over. That's great. Don't have 500 friends over. Yeah. That's not so great. There will be some increased fines for what we call nuisance parties.
I mean, a nuisance party is exactly what it sounds like. You've got people spilling out into the yard, got litter, you've got underage drinking, public urination. Nobody really wants to live next to that. So let's just all be good neighbors. Let's have a great weekend and a terrific school year.
Oh, I like that message. And that was included, I think, yesterday with the assistant chief of police. And yeah, we'll just keep reiterating it. And having lived in Ames a while, and I know you grew up here, the parking is, it's always been kind of wacko, especially here at the start of the semester.
Yeah. So I brought Justin Clausen with me today. He is our public works operations manager. He is always busy, but I think he's been especially busy lately. So I thought he could just give an update on what he's been up to.
Welcome, Justin.
Thanks, Pat. I don't know how I can follow that up, Susan. That was a great speech. I don't know if I can do better than that.
Yeah, she really has a good way with words. You know, she's our public information officer. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's been busy. I mean, obviously, if you've been around town driving or biking or commuting or whatever, you've seen there's a lot of work going on. But one of the things I want to talk about today specifically that's come up in the past 2 weeks or so, we've had some water mains that have broken or that things that have happened that have led to some other notifications we've had to do. So I really kind of want to talk a little bit about what we've got going on there. We've got a really neat project that worked through its way through our capital improvement program, where we are monitoring pressures within our water distribution system. So we've got sensors that we began to install about a month ago, and it tells us what the pressures look like in various points across the water distribution system. If you think about it, we've got three elevated water tanks that people can see. We've got the water plant itself, and they can monitor pressure there, but there's over 250 miles of water main underneath the ground. And the pressure on some of those larger places isn't always the same pressure that is in somewhere else. So this program has started to give us some data, and we've got some really neat stuff coming out of it. So we had a water main break at the Barilla manufacturing plant on the east side of town, had a fire line break. And prior to this system going in, we would not have known necessarily what the pressures were on the far east side of town, but we had a few sensors in place, and we were able to see that the pressure actually dropped below 20 PSI, which is a trigger point for us through the Iowa DNR to say we need to have a boil water advisory, because we've effectively lost pressure within the system that says we need to have a way to make sure people can monitor that and boil water if necessary. So those sort of things kind of came into play here recently. So it's kind of a neat thing that we're doing, and just trying to share that with the community as it's been going in place.
Yeah, so if I understand, you have certain pressure in your system, and when that pressure drops, then it can be inundated from outside water sources, can essentially contaminate what needs to
Correct.
Be pressure or kept up. Pressure works
yeah,
both ways, and you got to push it out as opposed to having it leaking back in. So
it does. If you think about it, there's groundwater. And as if you've been paying attention to anything locally, you know, groundwater, take the new pool site that they've been talking about up for the DOT. You know, there are areas in town where there have been contamination from stuff that maybe is not even involved with the city, but from other industries from years past. And so if there's enough pressure pushing in on the pipe, it could potentially go in. And so if you've got enough pressure inside the pipe pushing out, obviously you don't have that problem, but that's sure. just a threshold the DNR has for us.
So you're able to meter all 250 miles of underground water system?
I wish. Not.
Oh, not okay.
It's a fantastic question. So the goal of this and kind of the impetus that started it was if you were here in 2010 when we lost system-wide pressure during the flooding.
There was flooding.
There was a water main break underneath Iowa Creek. And that was a unique location because there was already 20 feet of water on top of the water main, and you couldn't really see it surface.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know where it was immediately. We knew there was a big problem. Once we found it, we were able to isolate it. But the challenge with that was the entire system lost pressure. So this pressure monitoring system is really set up to monitor some of those critical river crossings, where if we have problems, where are we not going to see it? Oh, a lot of times if you have a large water main break, there's water everywhere. People see it.
Right.
But it's to protect those areas. And then also we've strategically located some around critical industries. Think the hospital. Think other major manufacturing, large users of water, that if something goes on there, we can coordinate with them immediately and help decide, okay, is your water safe in your facility for the next, 24, 48 hours, mm-hmm. or do you have to make other plans? So that was kind of the start of this system overall.
And it really sounds like one of those instances where better living through technology will benefit our society. This is a good thing.
Absolutely. Technology is good and bad sometimes.
Yeah.
One of the neat things about this, yes, it's got real-time monitoring. I actually get text messages on my cell phone, as do a number of other people, when we set alarms to a certain threshold, and it'll let us know, hey, there's something going on here. And then, my staff can respond within, the appropriate amount of time and see what's going on. There are times where it's not really an emergency, but something might have just kind of spiked, and we've probably got our alarm set a little too high. We're working through that as it's new, but it's nice to see that it's paying dividends. And then it gives a nice little graphical interface on the back end that I can see later on, and we can investigate what happened. So it's a really cool system that's going in, and we're going to continue to implement it here over the next several probably months before we get fully built out.
You know, it is Friday. Is there anything else, Susan or Justin? Can we?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Justin. So when we have a water break, a large water break that affects a lot of people, people sometimes scramble to know what phone number to call. So Ooh. Justin has the number for you.
Yes. Thank you, Susan. That was one thing on my list I forgot to mention. So thank you for that. If you have low water pressure, if you have problems, I know people like to use social media and people like to use our Ames on the Go app. It's worked awesome, especially when we're in the office, and sometimes we're not here. So what I recommend people is dial 239-5150. That will go directly to the water plant. The water plant is staffed 24/7. They have operators there that are always producing water, and they can take that phone call, and that helps on those off hours or times when, I may not be sitting at my desk or someone else may not be seeing that right away. Always call that phone number, 239-5150. It's kind of like our Alexa outage people. You can call that number and it helps us narrow in where it's at. It's the same thing with the waters.
Okay. Well, I think you've covered this topic thoroughly and in a very professional and it's not to take water for granted. And this is a great way to keep in touch with our water providers. And that number again is 515-239-5150.
Correct.
Well, thanks, folks.
Very good.
Have a very good weekend.
You too.
You too.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be right back. just a little, Sun Perucho's. They're going to be performing Sunday evening. I think those are at 7 o'clock at the Roosevelt Summer Sundays Concerts coming up. That was Sun Perucho's. And I think I like hearing music that I'm not that familiar with. And so what a great venue if you're not familiar with the Roosevelt Summer Sundays Concert Series. It's right there at Roosevelt Park. I hear her names, and it's a great destination for a Sunday evening. Bring your lawn chair. Hey, and also Burning Sensations gave me a heads up that they are playing in Urbandale tonight at 6 p.m. So if you're following the Burning Sensations and other musical interests, if you want to let me know for these Friday updates, I'm more than happy to include them. And Mike Metz, you had the Prairie?
The Pole Prairie announcement again. Next Friday, 7 p.m., it'll be a guided walk behind the high school, Ames High School Prairie. That's the second to last. There's one in September. But you can get out there ahead of time, kind of look around, but it's always fun to have somebody who knows something about that prairie.
And so the coppice plants are blooming currently.
Right. And it's, you know, it's one of those little hidden gems. It's a prairie that has always been there, mm-hmm. right in the center of Ames.
Yeah, just like the Doolittle Prairie up by Story City. But let's welcome from ISU Extension, Amber Wingert. Hi, Amber.
Hi, good morning, Pat. Good to see you.
Good to have you with us once again.
I do want to mention that I have a colleague on the air with us this morning, Mary Wilkins, so I'm going to pass it off to her as well later on. So.
Okay. Hi, Mary. Welcome. Yeah. So, Amber, you're the marketing outreach person for the ISU Extension here in Story County.
Yes, I'm the marketing coordinator for Story County, and I have some exciting things to talk to you about after we wrapped up summer here. We're gearing up for fall and excited to get going on those programs this year.
You've had a successful fair season, so what's coming up?
Well, coming up here very shortly, next week on August 24th, there's going to be a field day, and that's going to be near Nevada. So the field day is for landowners and farmers, and it's kind of called Redefining the Field Edge to Improve Profitability, Wildlife Habitat, and Water Quality. So this project is being led by Mark Licht. He's an associate professor in agronomy at Iowa State, and it's in partnership with the Iowa Learning Farms. So we invite you to come out. They're going to kind of work with Iowa farmers and how do you prevent your land areas that are prone to flooding and you convert them to perennial vegetation, and you just evaluate your profitability and explore water quality, soil health, wildlife habitats, and just overall aesthetics of your land.
Excellent. Where's that going to be located?
It's near Nevada at Mark Kinney's farm. So I can get an address for you.
Yeah.
I don't see one listed, but
we'll have it on the website. Yeah.
Yes. If you could. Definitely.
Yeah. This is fantastic. I love it when Wildlife Extension or includes wildlife from ISU Extension.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. Another program I want to tell you about, a pollinator program with bees, and this is we're going to do in partnership with Bayer. So we're excited about this on September 17th. It's from 10 a.m. to noon, so that's a Saturday, at the Huxley Bayer location. We're going to have this outside their office, and we're inviting everyone to join us on Saturday. We're going to learn about native bees. We're going to learn about pollination. We're going to maybe speak with some beekeepers, have some fun activities for the kids, the family. Everyone's invited to come join us that day as well.
Wonderful.
All right. And then Mary's going to talk to you a little bit about raising school-ready readers.
Oh, yes. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So as we transition from summer to fall, one of our programs that we are gearing up for is Raising School Ready Readers. And that is an opportunity for adults with preschool age children, the opportunity to think about and see how they can incorporate literacy into their everyday activities. So it is a 5-session series. It begins on Wednesday, September 14th at 10 a.m. There is no cost, but we do ask that families register as we accommodate space and families for their participation. It is 5 sessions. Each session has a short video clip from Scholastic, the research developer, Nell Duke. She'll share some insight in a couple of those literacy skills each week. And then there's a round table of activities to participate in as well.
Now, 5 sessions, is that one each week or how is it broken down?
Yes, thank you. That's a great question. We will meet weekly, so every Wednesday at 10 a.m., approximately an hour. Families will be able to stay a little bit longer to participate in those roundtable activities as well.
And did I miss, is it going to be at your location there on South Bell?
Or? It will be at our office at 1421 South Bell Avenue, Suite 107.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, literacy. What an activity that the ISU Extension in Story County can foster. That's great.
Absolutely. Thank you. We have a state literacy specialist, Dr. Connie Beecher, and so she has helped share these resources out and the opportunity for us to implement them locally as well.
Is this an annual exercise, or is this the first? Is this kind of a pilot effort? Have you done this previously?
It is beyond the pilot stage. So as we look at our program calendar and we start to decide what programs to offer, Wednesday mornings has been a great time for preschool level, is what we have found. And we often incorporate literacy into many of our programs. And so this is a great program that really does have that primary focus on literacy to help those young children get ready for their preschool days, as well as beyond that.
And my mind is drifting into, the Zoom opportunities. But then I think preschool kids on Zoom, is that possible? But I suppose it is. But this is once you attending in person.
Yes, there are sometimes some Zoom opportunities, maybe more so for the adults. Right mm-hmm. now we're finishing a small talk program. So that also it does incorporate literacy, but it's also talking with our youngest, with our babies. Mm-hmm. So that's the small talk one. But this particular program, Raising School Ready Readers, will be in person.
Mm-hmm. And the woman that's kind of overseeing this that you mentioned, what was her name again?
Dr. Connie Beecher is the state literacy specialist at Iowa State.
Oh, so she works with the Iowa State University.
She does. She studies and promotes literacy across the state.
Oh, that's sure. That's a position I wasn't aware of. How special is that? Yeah.
Absolutely. The other thing that, as we wrap up summer and think about fall, we are ending our 4-H year, ends in August. So our new 4-H year will begin in September. So we will be making that transition very quickly, and there's always opportunity for families to participate in the 4-H program. Students can be in kindergarten through 12th grade, so we have a variety of opportunities and experiences that way as well.
And if listeners want to learn more, it's
www.extension.iastate.edu/story. Or they are welcome to give us a call at 515-337-1601. Or they can email us at xstory@iastate.edu.
extension.iastate.edu/story. Yeah.
Correct.
And, well, we've got a couple more minutes. Is there other highlights that we need to include here, Amber or Mary?
I think summer was a hit. Yeah, and I would say, just always keep a lookout on our website. We update that continuously for new programs,
I know that Mary's been working on a lot of no school day programs, and there'll be some fall programs coming up. So just keep your eye out on that or give us a call, and we're happy to talk to you about those.
Oh, and so help me out with the professor's name. Could you spell that, please?
Dr. Connie, Connie, teacher, Beecher.
B as in boy. Connie Beecher, thank you. I'll put that on the website. Really, that's wonderful that you have such an accomplished presenter right here in town. So it's that's pretty special for all the preschool kids and families. You're a great place to include in that early development. That's so important. So you just do great work.
Thank you. Extension is here to serve everyone.
Okay. Well, thank you, Amber Wigert and Mary Wilkins with ISU Extension / Story County. We're special. You make us feel special having you with us.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh. Local Talk airs each weekday at 7 a.m. on 89.1 FM. KHOI Local Talk is a training workshop as well as a show. If you have an interest in joining the Local Talk team, the welcome mat is out here at 622 Douglas Avenue. Contact us at 292-2878 or go to that website, khoifm.org. We are KHOI, the heart of Iowa, and we are streaming live on our website. And please remember to support this station financially when you go to that website and find the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member. And that's at khoifm.org.
KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media.
Thank you, Local Talk producer Lynn Carey, and thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday news summary. And thanks to our guests, Mary Swander, Justin Clausen, Susan Guiasta, Amber Wingert, and Mary was included with ISU Extension. And thank you, Mike Murphy, for engineering this program. And thank you for all that you do for KHOI Community Radio. And thank you, good neighbor Mike Metz. I have been your host for this hour, Pat Schlarbaum.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. The other artists you heard was Willie Nelson and Son Parochos. Stay tuned for Headline News and Democracy Now!, followed by Adagio at 9 a.m. And hoping you have a great weekend and enjoy some beautiful summer weather in your community. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.